We have two readings today. They'll be on the screen. Otherwise, we've also got Bibles just by the door if you'd like to follow along. The first is Psalm 89, verses 1 to 8, and then 14 to 18. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. Who is like you, Lord, God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They celebrate your righteousness, for you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel. The second reading is from Galatians 5, 22 to 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you to look at God's Word together. Let's pray and ask for God's help as we turn to His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our faithful God. We thank you for your Word, that your Word is true and faithful. And so, Father, we ask that you would do your work in us through your word, by your spirit, that we would be people who trust you, that we would be people who are faithful like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Christian life is a spiritual life. It's a life of walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God. And what that means is the person will bear the fruit of the Spirit. We're taught in Galatians 5 that was just read, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We looked at some of these last year in a short series called Fruitful Living. Last year we covered peace and gentleness and self-control. We're going to cover two more in these next 2 weeks. So today I'm looking with you at faithfulness. And then next week we'll look at love. So what is faithfulness? I'm sure most of us have some kind of idea of what faithfulness is. We tend to think of someone who's reliable or dependable, someone who is trustworthy. In fact, trustworthy and faithful are actually direct synonyms. They mean exactly the same thing. You have faith in someone who is faithful. You put your trust in someone who is trustworthy. Those statements mean exactly the same thing. But faithfulness also links very closely to the idea of truth, especially in the Old Testament. And so we have this idea of faithfulness is about truthfulness. It's about trustworthiness, reliability, dependability. So let me ask you this. Are you a faithful person? And how can you and I grow in this spiritual fruit of faithfulness? That's what I want to look at with you this morning. And first, as we look at that, it's essential to know that the faithfulness of God and to trust Him. God's faithfulness is spoken of all through the Bible, and, you know, all over the Bible, and it's displayed even when the word's not used, displayed all through the Bible. But Psalm 89 that was read, it has a particular focus on God's faithfulness. It appears five times in the first 14 verses. Have a look with me. Verse 1, with my mouth I will make your faithfulness known. Verse 2, I will declare that your love stands firm forever. Standing firm is forever. It's the same kind of idea as faithfulness, isn't it? You have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. In verses 3 and 4, God's faithfulness is displayed in his promise to David to establish his line forever. There will always be someone sitting on the throne for David for eternity. Well, he's kept that promise through our Lord Jesus. Verse 5, God's faithfulness is praised. Verse 8, who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty and your faithfulness surrounds you. Verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. God is faithful. And notice how it's connected so much with his promises, but also with other attributes of God, his other characteristics or his character, especially his love. Let me just underline this with two more examples. Moses teaches Israel a song in Deuteronomy 32, declaring God's praises. And it says this, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. Do you know, there's nothing else in all of creation that can give you the firm foundation that God himself can give you. Stake your life upon him because he never fails, because his word is never false. His promises are always kept. David prays in Psalm 31:5, deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. Since God is faithful, he's entirely worthy of our faith in him. He's completely trustworthy. And so trust him. Trust him for salvation, but trust him for all of life and everything you go through. Do you recognize how faithful God is? You know, we have an example of it in the Bible in this way. The Bible itself is an ancient document, and yet its truths and promises hold firm today. We have scriptures that consist of the Old Testament with many promises, and then the New Testament, which shows how much of that is fulfilled already, and some still to come. Our faith is in a God who has acted through thousands of years of history. And so we can see the plans that he has declared long ago that they are coming about. The whole Christian life is entirely dependent upon and certain because of the faithfulness of God. You know, just even reaching our final the goal of our final salvation. In 1 Corinthians 1, 8 to 9, it says, he will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. When we're tempted, we need to remember that God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, 1 Corinthians 10. When we sin, we need to confess our sin, knowing that he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. When we suffer according to God's will, that is for being a Christian, we need to commit ourselves to our faithful Creator and continue to do good. We need to hold to the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. Our Lord Jesus is faithful, and we are to become like him in character. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And that is why faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. And so we come, secondly, to consider our faithfulness to others. You know, it's easy to think through how much this virtue of faithfulness just affects all areas of our life, doesn't it? All our relationships. Faithfulness is essential for success in marriage. If you are married, that person that you're married to has become the closest person in your life. Someone who was previously unrelated is now closer than flesh and blood, or as close as flesh and blood. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, Adam says. And so the relationship is a one flesh relationship. Now, faithfulness in marriage, it goes far beyond just not cheating on your spouse. Just think of the traditional marriage vows. For better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. There's a commitment made to go through everything, no matter what, good or bad, together in life with this person. Faithfulness is important in our families, especially in raising children. It includes keeping the promises that we make to them, being reliable, being consistent with them. It includes a commitment to being present in their lives if we are their parent. Faithfulness in work or in our workplace, it's demonstrated in things like how we use our time or company resources, our honesty and our work ethic, and so on. And you could apply those to duties at home as well. And so also we could think about faithfulness as a friend or as a citizen or resident of our country. But rather than just thinking through these areas or relationships that we could be faithful in, it'd be helpful to think through what constitutes faithfulness. And so let me work through three examples with you. Firstly, a faithful person is honest. They speak the truth. All our statements of fact should be truth. All our answers to questions, all our promises, statements of fact should be true as far as we know them to be true. All our promises. Proverbs 12:22 says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy." You know, Jerry Bridges has written a book called The Fruitful Life, to which I'm actually greatly indebted in thinking through this topic. I've incorporated a number of ideas this morning with this, but he writes about a personal example in his life, which I want to present kind of more as a scenario for you. Okay, imagine it's Christmas Eve and you're just ready to head off to church. You're going to go to a Christmas Eve service. And a four-year-old girl, your neighbor from next door, comes over and knocks on the door, and you answer the door, and there she is holding this big plate of cookies with a huge grin on her face. And she says, Mum and I baked these for you. We want you to have these. And so you say, oh, thank you so much, and take them. And she heads off, and you just put them down and just forget about them, quickly head off to the Christmas Eve service. And a couple of days later, you're heading out to the car to drive away, and this little girl, your neighbor, meets you again just on the sidewalk and says, oh, so how were the cookies? And you can see the great anticipation on her face. But you've completely forgotten about them, right? You haven't even tasted them at all. What do you say? Are you tempted to say, oh, yeah, they were great? I think so many of us would be, right? And that's what Jerry Bridges confesses to doing, something along those lines. And he gets in the car and drives away and thinks, sure, it was a social lie. It's of little consequence, but it was still a lie. And he asks himself, why had I lied? He says, it's because it was expedient. He says, it saved me embarrassment and saved this little girl from disappointment. I'm sure every single one of us can recognize that kind of scenario, not exactly the same, where it just seems better to tell the lie, just a little light, white lie that doesn't really hurt anyone. But Bridges reminds us of Proverbs 12:22. The Lord detests lying lips. You see, if we compromise on what seems just insignificant, we will more readily be dishonest in bigger ways. That's unfaithfulness. The faithful person is an honest person. Secondly, the faithful person is dependable. They're reliable. They turn up when they're supposed to turn up. They get done what they're supposed to get done, whether it's house chores or work commitments or serving in a ministry at church, whatever it is. The dependable person is prepared. They take initiative. They make the right decisions, and they always do what is right if there's someone you can depend on. And they communicate when there's a problem. You know, obviously the situations can arise for all of us, right, where we can't follow through on a commitment, sickness or accident or whatever it is, forgetting. But these are usually rarer in a dependable person. And that's the type of person we love to rely on, isn't it? To depend on. Faithful people are reliable, they're dependable. And thirdly, a faithful person is loyal. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity." Adversity is a time of trouble, right? A family member will step in a time of trouble because they'll feel like that's their duty. Well, so too a friend, a true friend. But perhaps a genuine friend will go even further, even beyond the duty of a brother. You see, they will be there not only when the times are hard, but they'll be there to rejoice with you through the good times too. A friend loves at all times. Now, true loyalty is not blind to wrongs, is it? True loyalty, though, will still be willing to point out sins or mistakes or areas of growth. I've had that recently where someone met up with me and shared some things that were hard to hear, but it's actually good to hear because I want to grow. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are excessive." Obviously, loyalty is a key aspect of faithfulness in marriage, in family, and in friendships. But a Christian, too, will have loyalty to their brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, in thinking through faithfulness, we need to ask ourselves, am I a loyal person? A faithful person is honest, dependable, and loyal. Faithfulness is a big ask, isn't it? It's more comprehensive than we might first think. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, "Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person, who can find?" It doesn't matter how much a person claims loyalty or love or commitment, in the end their actions are what will find them out. And very often, the claims are not backed up, as Solomon laments in this proverb. It kind of suggests it's rare to find a person genuinely with this virtue. Why is that? Well, there's numerous reasons for that. Let me consider what I think are three key reasons. The selfishness rooted in our hearts, the cost of faithfulness, and the fact that little compromises are just so easy. So our selfishness is what can cause us to let others down, right? Or to fail on our commitments. We are dishonest for selfish motives. We fail on commitments because we prioritize a personal commitment or just personal desires, what we're doing at the time. Secondly, there's very often a cost to faithfulness. Jesus tells the church of Smyrna in Revelation 2, be faithful even to the point of death. That's the ultimate cost, isn't it, of faithfulness to Jesus? Most of the time, the cost for us is much less than that. Yet faithfulness still demands a price that we are often unwilling to pay. Whether it's because our failure is going to make us look bad if the truth comes out, or whether it's giving up or restricting perhaps our desires or our hobbies or something like that, faithfulness is sometimes costly. David asks in Psalm 15, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? That is, who's able to live in the presence of God? And he gives then a list of virtues through Psalm 15 of a person whose walk is blameless. And it includes this, the one who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind. Sometimes we make an oath or a promise or a commitment and realize later that we're greatly disadvantaged by it. But the faithful person will keep their word or their commitment. Well, let me ask you this. How are we going to be able to bear the cost that faithfulness demands? How can we bear that cost every time? I think the key thing is we need to value faithfulness. We need the value of faithfulness to rise in our understanding and in our conviction. When the value of faithfulness itself is greater than what it costs to hold firm, we will. When the value of pleasing God is greater than the cost, we will walk true. And God has given us his Spirit so that we are able to bear that cost for the sake of faithfulness and for his glory. And thirdly, compromise is so easy and often just dismissed as of little consequence. That example before of the little white lie to the four-year-old girl, it may be easy to dismiss as just, look, I was trying not to disappoint her. Or leaving out information that we know will affect the other person's understanding. We think, well, I didn't lie, even though we know they'll be thinking something different. Exaggeration to make the point. The self-justification of why it's expedient not to follow through on a commitment. Compromise is so easy. But faithfulness is not a matter of just evaluating each individual isolated event. Faithfulness is a matter of character, isn't it? And therefore, having a habit of honesty, of dependability, and of loyalty. And God has given us his Spirit so that every time those decisions come, whether it's just a split-second decision or it's a long, thought-out decision of what to say or do, we put the selfish and ungodly desires or thoughts to death. We kill them. Galatians 5 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That is, we've repented, we've said we're doing away with that way of living. Since we therefore live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Keeping in step with the Spirit is continuing to put those bad desires and thoughts to death and then bearing the fruit of the Spirit. That's how we walk by the Spirit. And when we fail to walk true, we repent. And if necessary, we correct it. And if we see a need for growth, if you see a need for growth now in thinking through this issue, make it a matter of prayer. Because God wants us to grow in faithfulness. The Lord God is a faithful God. And we, his people, should be considered the most faithful people in the world. Well, we've looked at God's faithfulness and our faithfulness to others. Finally, let's consider our faithfulness to God. Let me be clear up front. Salvation is a free gift. We receive the righteousness of Christ so that we can be acceptable to God only through faith in what he has done. We don't work for it. But those who are saved by faith, they will seek to be faithful to God, won't they? That's what will show our faith to be genuine. And so let me remind you of a parable that Jesus tells in Matthew 25. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who goes away on a journey, and is about to go away on a journey, and he calls together his servants, and he entrusts his possessions to them. And to one he gives 5 talents, and another he gives 2, and another he gives 1 talent. That's an old form of money. And then he goes away on his journey. And the first 2 servants put the money to work, and each of them double it. And when the master arrives back, the third servant, however, he just hides the money in the ground, in a hole in the ground. When the master arrives back, he calls them in to settle accounts with them. And it's revealed that the third servant represents those who, in the end, are actually not truly, they do not truly belong to the kingdom at all. But the first two, they actually get exactly the same verdict from the master. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. Every single one of us, right, want to hear that, don't we, from God? Well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear that. The whole Christian life is a stewardship to God. Everything that we have belongs to him. Our life, our bodies, our abilities, our gifts, our knowledge, our time, our resources, our possessions, our wealth. It's all his. We owe it all to him. Even whatever ability that we have used to gain what we have, whether it's achievements or knowledge or possessions, even the abilities to gain all of that has come from him. We are stewards of the Lord God Almighty. And therefore, faithfulness to him is of the highest importance, isn't it? Are you viewing your life this way? Perhaps today is a good reminder to reset those priorities in your life, the priority of your whole life as a steward to God. Well, as we conclude, let me encourage you. We are so blessed to put our faith in our faithful Creator and Savior. And so keep trusting him, because he's absolutely trustworthy. And know that God not only wants your faithfulness, he's actually equipped you. He's given what you need so that you can grow in faithfulness. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you if you belong to him, to bear the fruit of faithfulness. Keep battling and putting the desires, the selfish and ungodly desires and thoughts to death, and walk in faithfulness to others and before God. That's being led by the Spirit. God wants us to be people of honesty, dependability, and loyalty. We find 2 great examples of faithfulness in the Old Testament. Daniel, serving the king of Persia, he was elevated to be above all his peers in the government of Persia. And so his rivals, his peers, they didn't like it. So they start looking for grounds to bring against him, to find charges against him. But it says they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. He was someone who was honest and dependable and loyal in his service to the king. The second example is Jonathan, the son of King Saul. He's in line to become king, but he proved his loyalty in his faithfulness to David. He warned David of his father's plans to attack David and kill him. He even tells David once in a later meeting, he says, David, you will be king over Israel. And he knows that that would cost himself, David's life would cost himself the throne of the kingdom. His loyalty as a friend, as a faithful friend, was costly. You know, if God works in ordinary men like Daniel and Jonathan, so too he can work in us, because he's given us his spirit so that we would be faithful, and so that one day we would hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are a God who is faithful and true, and we can rely on you entirely. Father, I pray that each of us would do that, that we would set our whole life in utter dependence upon you, that we would trust you for our salvation from our sin, and that we would trust you in living the Christian life and persevering to the end. Father, please do your work in us by your Spirit, that we would be your faithful people, faithful to those around us, and faithful to you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.